Glad to see everyone who is with us. If you are visiting with us, I know we have a few. You are welcome here. Things are a little crazy. I don't know what that's going to be in the future. We'll see how that goes. I wanted to get started this morning by asking you a question. And the question is this. Have you ever struggled to feel like you belong? I know I have. It's not a one-time thing in my life. When we went to college and when I decided to go to nursing school, Lacey and I packed up from Broken Bow where we grew up and we moved where I grew up. She kind of came there at the end, you know, that thing. But we moved to Ada to go to nursing school. And we chose to go to a congregation there because they had a church that had some members that we were familiar with, and there was a college-age ministry there. So we thought, hey, we'll go there and, you know, we'll kind of connect with the people that are our age, that are in our phase of life, and we'll kind of have some people to do life together with. And we got there, and it didn't happen that way. Because Lacey and I were married, first of all, and a lot of the college age people were not married. They were trying to find somebody to marry, but they were not there yet, right? And not only that, but Lacey and I had a small child. Well, let me tell you something. Small children put a cramp in college kids' schedules. I'm just going to say, it just didn't jive real well. And so we really struggled to find that sense of belonging, to find that sense of community there. I've kind of struggled with this in some of my work as a nurse as well. In some of my works as a nurse, I've been put in that position of charge nurse or of house supervisor. And so you're a part of the staff, but you're also the one that tells them to do things that they may not want to do. And so it kind of puts this distance, and you're not you don't really feel that connection, right? If you've ever been a part of your work and the boss tells you to do something, what do? You go grumble to the people that you're working with that you didn't like what you were told to do, right? That's what happens. But when you're the boss that's telling them that, they grumble about you, not to you. Sometimes I've even struggled to find a sense of belonging as a minister. I've talked to some people, and they kind of have this idea that when you go somewhere as a minister, it automatically includes this sense of belonging. But that's not really true. Because, you see, when you come into a congregation as a minister, you're coming into a group of people who have been around each other for a long time. They've shared that life. They've shared those experiences. They have those relationships, and you start from scratch. You got nothing. And so you have to build that process. And so there's this struggle to say, okay, where do I belong? Where do I fit in this family? Right? We have that. And I'll be honest, I don't think I'm the only one, okay? I think that there are many of us who have felt alone. Even though we might be surrounded by a bunch of people, let me kind of ask it this way. Have you ever had that experience where you've come to even the worship of the church already feeling empty, already feeling disconnected from God, feeling that struggle, that strain, right? And then you just say, okay, I'm going to go. How does that go for you? Did you do the whole, I'm here, shake the hand, come sit in my pew, I'm leaving kind of scene? I've done that a time or two, and let me tell you, I left feeling more disconnected and more like I didn't belong. We struggle. And sometimes I think the idea of building community, of really working to become a family of God, has kind of fallen into that same trap that many other things fall into, that idea where we talk about it, but we don't do it, that whole thing. You can go online and you can find sermons, or you can get even Bible study books, or you can find it in podcasts or whatever your thing is, Facebook rants. There's a lot of those going around, okay? You can find it in this. And I'm sure somewhere along the way you have heard the idea of having a need for community that has been talked about. And it might have even been the case that you've heard that being talked about while you sit there surrounded by a bunch of people that you don't feel connected to. What do we do with that? I mean, our culture loves the idea of community. We want everybody engaged. We want everybody to be connected. But the question I have is, do we act on that? Or is it just an idea that we're in love with? I want you to ask yourself this question. I want you to kind of think about people in your mind, look around, whatever it is, and ask how many people have shown up looking for someone to reach out to them, to welcome them into this family, to say, hey, I care about you. I'm going to say it, to even shake their hand, to say, I care. You see, sometimes we want more than that 2-second conversation. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine, thanks. And if you've never felt that need, I'll pray for you. Because it's a human need. We have a need for connection, and I mean meaningful connection. You know, sometimes we get visitors that come to the congregation, and you'll be visiting with them about why they're coming there. And one of the things that you hear a lot when you talk to people about why, they say, well, I'm looking for a place to belong. I'm looking for, in some form or fashion, however they phrase it, a sense of community. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I kind of inwardly wince when I hear that. Because what they're looking for community. They're looking for connection. And the problem is not necessarily that they're looking for that, but the problem is in the mindset that somehow community is automatically found. Like, oh, I'm digging through my yard. Oh, here it is. You know, it's some kind of mystical thing that we stumble on. And we have this mindset. And I think that's due to our culture. Our culture has kind of defined community in terms of choice. That's how it looks at it today. And that's new. For a large part of our history, community was defined by where you were. Like, you moved into the community. There was a school system that you went to. There was a church down the road. You knew your neighbors who were next door to you. I mean, you had a sense of belonging in that place. Okay? But now, technology, while it has its wonderful perks, has also allowed us to take a lot of that away. I can find community through my Facebook group over being a preacher. I don't know how many of you guys know this, but there's groups out there on Facebook that are for preachers only. If you're not a preacher, you're not welcome. There's groups out there for just about anything. Anything you want to look at, you can find a sense of community over. Gamers, that's why gaming is so big, because not only is it now online, I get to play my game, but I can talk to people, I can have my friends, and we can get together, and even though we live on opposite sides of the country, we can still game together. We have a gaming community. Right? That's what it is. That's what technology has done. Right? It's even getting to the point where some places we go to worship by pulling it up on our phone, pulling it up on our laptop. We're going to go worship as I sit alone at my house. And here's the problem with this idea. If community is easily found, guess what? It's also easily left. You know, one of the problems that we have is that canceling time with each other is just like canceling an Uber driver. Sorry, can't make it. There's no real connection. There's no real loss when we don't spend that time together. We've lost that feeling. We see it in churches. How many of you heard the idea of church hopping? Very popular term in American vernacular. What does it really mean, though? What it means is this: I'm going to go and be a part of this. I'm going to choose to be a part of your group until I get my first disappointment, until I come across that first disagreement, and then, well, obviously I need to make a different choice. So you're done. Drop. Add. And they go somewhere else. And you see that happen a lot. If you spend any time in ministry, you see that happen a lot. And then what's interesting is people don't realize this, but ministers actually talk to each other. And so if you talk to the minister at the place they went next, a lot of times they go there for a little while. Hey, till they find that first disagreement, that first disappointment, drop, and they go somewhere else. And guess what? After about the first 3, 4, 5 times of that, you're not surprised to hear that anymore. And you figure out, hey, it wasn't really us. It was them. They're looking for something easy. They're looking for to find community. Right? And here's the crazy part about it. If I were to be able to go and track those people down and ask them why they left that congregation that they just left, you know what? I don't know that they would be able to give me the answer. Just didn't have what we were looking for. Just didn't feel right. Those are some of the things you hear. Right? It wasn't a good fit. But the real reason is simply this. They can't find community. Well, there's a reason you can't find community. Community isn't something you find. Community is something you build. And I want you to think about that. Community is not found, brethren. It is built. What do I mean by that? I want you to think about it. Community, when you look at what community is, a sense of community is comes from this perceived connection where we have these overlaps in identity. We have these overlaps in experience, this overlap in my intentions. And when those three things come together, that forms a community. That's what community is. And so we need to think about it. I believe that we as human beings will naturally find community. I believe that God created us that way. We're made in His image. God is communal, 3-in-1, living, perfect communion, perfect harmony. We're made in that image. We are designed, built by God to seek community. I really do believe that. Everywhere you go, even those people that say they're against the established community, guess what? They have their own community over anti-establishment. Right? We are drawn to the idea of community. And so today I want us to look at this. I want us to look at the idea of creating community. I want us to go when the church was first established and look and see what it is to get a sense of how we create community with each other. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be spending our time in that text this morning. This is the first time that the church is established according to the Bible. If you go back just to kind of set the scene for you, Jesus has been crucified, been buried, He's raised, He's walked with His disciples, He's ascended into heaven. And before He left, He told them, He said, you wait here in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes, and He's going to anoint you with power, and then you're going to be my witnesses, and here, and into Judea, and to all parts of the world. Right? That's what He told them. And so, when we look at Acts chapter 2, they have been there in Jerusalem. They're in that upper room. The Holy Spirit comes down, divides as tongues of fire, settles upon them, and they begin preaching to the people that are gathered there at Jerusalem for Pentecost. And as they're preaching, they preach to them the message of Jesus Christ. And I want us to begin, and we're going to look in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 36. Peter is kind of giving that punch to his sermon. And he's telling them, he's convicting them, he says, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. I don't want to pause right there. I want you to notice something. You want to talk about building community. We should be a community. Why? Because we share the same Savior. This man that was crucified, was buried, was raised again, both Lord and Christ is Jesus. That is our Savior. And I want to unpack that and what that means in terms of community, right? When we became a Christian, when we decided to put on Christ in baptism, when we committed ourselves to Jesus, right? He became our King, Lord and Christ. He became our ruler. He became the one that we submit to, right? And what that means is that there has to be a fundamental shift in our identity. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that I am a husband, but I am not primarily a husband. I am a father, but not primarily a father. I am a minister, but I am not primarily a minister. Do you know why? Because first and foremost, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have decided that He is going to be my Lord in Christ. I will submit first and foremost to Him, and in that role, and then everything else is secondary. That's what it means. All right? And so, I'm not the only one. If you are a Christian, if you have been baptized into Christ, guess what? He is your Lord and your Christ too. Which means there should be a shift not only in my identity, but in your identity. First and foremost, you should be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the practical terms is what that means is that identity shift should be greater than any other similarity. We're not the architect, we're the builders. We don't get to lay out our plans. Okay? We can't be the ones in charge. And that means that we're gonna have to spend time with each other. Okay? We're gonna have to spend time walking alongside each other. We're gonna have to put ourselves aside and welcome each other. We're gonna have to be those that invest in each other, spend that time. And that's what we want. And you might look around and you might go, do you understand what this family would look like? Yes, I do. It would be one weird-shaped family. But I want you to be honest with yourselves. How many of your families are perfect? I'm going to tell you, I got some relatives. They will make you think twice. We need to make sure that we're realistic with each other. Because here's the thing. We have the same Savior, the same story, the same mission. We have everything we need for a sense of community. But sometimes I think instead of community, all we get is connection. God doesn't want us to get together and slap the name of His Son on some event and call that community. He wants us to be involved in each other's lives, to know each other, to walk with each other. He wants us to have communion, not just connection. There's a big difference in the... let me phrase it this way. Think of it the difference as knowing and being known. I'm pretty sure most of you guys out here know who your favorite sports player is. Pick it, baseball, basketball, football, I don't care. You know who that is. You know him. You know his stats. You might know where he was born. You might know where he went to school, how he did in college ball. Like, you know. You might even know what his favorite workout routines are. And like what kind of meal he likes. Does he like to carbo load? And when he does it this way. You might know all that stuff. But does he know you? See, that's the difference between knowing and being known. And sometimes I think that's what we do in the church. We know, but we're not known. And we need to move past that. God is not calling us to loose connections. He's calling us into communion, to community with each other. And let me tell you, that involves risk. Okay? It involves risk and time and trust and hope. You might call those faith. That's what it takes. And it's not easy. It's scary, right? I mean, think about it. Everybody I know has their shield up. We have our shield up. We have this image we painted up here because back here's a mess and we know it. And we're afraid to let that shield down, to put it down and let people see the mess that lies behind. We don't want them to know what's really going on back there because what will they think of me? That's what we do. And that's why we don't have a sense of community. That's why we only have a sense of connection. Now, I'm not telling you to go to somebody and just pour out your deepest, darkest secrets. Because let's be honest, we all know some people that can't be trusted. Okay? That's just truth. If you haven't learned that yet, you will. But what I am saying is that we start seeing who we can trust. I give you a little bit, and I see what you do with it. And if you respond in a good way, I can give you a little bit more. And I can let you see a little bit more of who I am. And we can actually move from knowing each other to being known by each other. And that's what we need. We need relationships in our lives. Here's the deal. I want us to become a congregation that's like that. That's not connected. We're not just connected. We have a sense of community about us, right? imagine what it would be like to have people in your life who know you. Like, not the head knowledge, but they are known by you. You are known by them. They are in your life. They know how you think. They know how you feel. They know where your mess is. You can be open and honest and vulnerable with them. Imagine what it would be like to have a sense of community strong enough to allow that to happen. What would that look like? Not only that, but we have enough faith and trust in them that we allow them to hold us accountable. What would that look like? I'm going to tell you, it's going to require grace, right? Because I know I'm not perfect. It's going to require forgiveness because we're people and we need that. And let me tell you this, it cannot happen without risk. It won't. It's impossible. It cannot happen without risk. But it's worth it. If you've ever had somebody in your life that's got that kind of relationship with you, you know it's worth it. I'll be honest with you. That's the kind of relationships I want. This world is plenty satisfied with, let's talk about sports and let's talk about the news. I don't want that. I don't know if you've ever spent a lot of time talking with me, you're going to figure out real quick, I don't watch a lot of sports. Could care less. I don't watch a lot of news. Could care less. You want to talk about the Bible? Let's go. You want to talk about Jesus Christ? You want to talk about discipleship? You want to talk about, okay, I'm game on, and you better have hours to go. Because I don't want surface level stuff. I don't want connections. I want community. And I don't want that just for me. I want that for you. I want you to have that. And I think it's possible. But here's the thing. It's only possible through Jesus Christ. No other connection is going to be deep enough. No other connection will sustain you enough to make it through this world except the connection found in Jesus Christ. You want that kind of sense of community. You want to be that, to have that kind of sense of belonging. You belong to Jesus. You submit to Him. And you can be connected and become a community with His people. If you're here this morning and you don't know what that's like, we want to offer you that opportunity to know Jesus, to submit to Him as your Lord and your Christ, so that you can have that sense of community. And if you're here this morning and you recognize, hey, that's not how I've been living. I don't think I've been living in a sense of community. Let's put Him first. Set ourselves aside. And build our relationships with each other. If you have a need this morning, please come as we stand and as we sing.